This morning we have with us the Secretary General for the South Sudan Council of Churches, and he's right here. Father Yet, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Lucy, for this moment of sharing and talking about issues regarding the church in Jonglei Internal Province. It is the Episcopal Church of Sudan, not the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
A quick one.
Okay. Yes. The issue happening is with Jonglei in the Catholic Church, right? Or is the Episcopal
Church?
Episcopal Church of Sudan.
Sudan.
So, where does this leave the church? I mean, what kind of image does this portray? You'd expect that the church is where there should be peace, love, harmony, and faithful servants of God. So, what image does this really give you as one of the leaders in the Council of Churches?
Thank you very much for this question. The situation has created pain in the church, in among the faithful, to the point that we are a bit disturbed. It's unfortunate that we have reached to the point of holding guns. Somebody ordained a priest or a pastor carrying gun in order to sort out issues is very unfortunate. These are causes of pain in the church, among the faithful, among the community of the people of South Sudan, where the church has got a mandate of healing people. But if the minister, the pastor, the mother picks on material weapons in order to claim some of its ambitions, there we are. We are made of, the church is made of human beings with different temperaments, with mm-hmm. different thoughts. Of course,
let me cut to you. When you talk about temperaments and thoughts, just break it down for us.
When I speak of temperaments and thoughts, I mean to say humanity has got, everybody has got his or her understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So these temperaments, at times, if you don't have the sense of self-control in your speech, in your presentation, it incites situations that doesn't help
mm-hmm.
The communion of the faithful. That's what happened in Bor. The archbishop, the internal archbishop, the most reverend, His Grace Moses Anur, his life was threatened at gunpoint. Even his car was shot at, and the church, in the church were a good number of gunshots. This is very unfortunate, and is my prayers, it's our prayers as a Council of Churches, that we use the right process that has been mandated to us by God. That's through dialogue.
Okay.
We can dialogue, we can talk out, we can iron such issues. We have got answers to all this, but
yes,
only that our ambitions that we carry in our hearts, which entangles with other ambitions, destroys the call of God in our lives.
That's very true. Mm. Now, just give us a brief understanding on what is the exact problem. What is the core of the problem? What is the root here? Because what we are seeing is just results of something that we don't understand.
The root or the core is the change of leadership in Jonglei Internal Province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And His Grace Archbishop Ruben Akurdit, and he has reached his time of retirement. And before he retired, he had some discussion of creating more dioceses in Jonglei Internal Provinces, about three of them. And to create a diocese, you need to make a bishop for those dioceses. But there are procedures in the Anglican Communion of South Sudan Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Procedures in order to reach that conclusion. Before you create a diocese, you need to go through the process of the House of Bishops, the Synod of the Province of Episcopal Church of South Sudan, when there's a consensus, then you're given the okay. But these processes did not go through as smooth as possible. there was on one side a promise for the communities of those respective three Payams or Bumas, I don't know, that we are going to make you a dais, and then one of your sons would be made bishops in those respective areas. There was that promise from one side.
Was that promise fulfilled?
According to the Anglican Communion Constitution of the province of South Sudan, there are procedures. The promise was fulfilled using force. And it created what they call a disobedience of the constitutional directives of the province.
Okay. Yeah. So that means all the steps that were supposed to be in place were skipped.
Were skipped because of a lack of understanding or lack of space for to see how we can reach a consensus. But that was not done. The House of Bishops said no. The Synod said no. And my brother, the Emeritus Archbishop Ruben Akurdit, did not take this. And then he had those bishops that they were consecrated also were with him. So the thing became a wrangling between, he comes from Bor South, and like communities from Bor South, again, it's communities from another part of Bor. And it went out of hand to the point that, as I can say, usually we need the church to transform the community.
Now
the community is trying to transform the church. And with this, I'm very sorry. I want to believe my message should reach out that is the word of God, is the Bible, is the church to transform us.
That's true.
I need to be transformed with the word of God, but not my tribal background, my community, to transform me in the church. No, that's where we messed a bit.
So when,
I'm sorry.
When did the call begin? When did that start?
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So Now, 2 years down the road, how has the church and other churches and church, let's say the Council of Churches as well, failed to resolve this issue? Where is the problem? What's the biggest challenge?
No, the Council of Churches did not step in to sort the thing, because these are internal matters within the particular church, especially not the whole Episcopal Church of South Sudan, the province. Mm-hmm. It's only one internal province. There are about six internal provinces of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan. But that's only in one internal province, that of the internal province of Jonglei, where the problem is the the retired archbishop and the House of Bishops. But in the House of Bishops, they use the umbrella of the primate, because it's the head, Dr. Justin Badiarama.
Okay. So my question here is on the fact that this is prolonged, and many people are getting hurt along the way. What is the solution? It's been 2 years. Something needs to give.
It's true. That's unfortunate. We should be examples of how to see how to sort out issues to things, but we also have this regulation, this constitution within the church, respective churches. Even the Catholic Church have got this canon law, the Anglican Church have got its laws, all other member churches have got its laws. Based on this, the Episcopal Church, the province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, followed its procedures, its laws, to the point even suspending the Emeritus Archbishop of Jonglei, that's the Most Reverend Ruben Akurdit. He was suspended, even defrogged to a lay status. And of course, the Most Reverend Akurdit has got his followers. He has his followers. He has got the faith who believed in him, those who believed in him, those who are in his favor. So, as I said, instead of him as a churchman transforming the community came and transformed him. And as the community have stepped in, and the community members, some could be serving as politicians, some could be serving as civil servants, some could be serving as community civil society organizations.
Yes.
So all this impacted in the process, and everybody was taking his take according to his interest. So once personal interest enters in, once personal ambitions enters in, once community ambitions comes in, then you twist the whole thing and you make things go out of hand. And that's what happened. I'm very sorry. My prayers in pain is that we can sort out these issues. I saw in the media the primate at the meeting with His Excellency the President of the Republic about calling about the security, and then the state government have expelled the two archbishops, the Most Reverend Rukbul Nakordit and the Most Reverend Moses Adnur, who was shot. He need to thank God. The Lord is still loving him.
Mm-hmm.
He missed. He could have lost his life. So they have been told to quit Bor. They should be in Juba here, and being in Juba, that not to come to insight, but to keep their calm as other procedures of seeing how to sort out the issues are resolved. But as things went out of hand, went in the hands of the faithful who are nervous, you know, we have our own trauma.
Yes. Okay. So as you've mentioned the faithful, I was just coming to that now. Looking at the church itself, I mean, you did mention that the community is now opting to change the church. You know, the church is like a hospital where people come for spiritual healing,
mm-hmm.
and mental healing, yeah. emotional healing. They mm-hmm. come to restore what their hearts that have been broken. Mm-hmm. So where does this leave the people in that particular province? Because with these 2 years, how is it working?
No, I believe we shall heal the situation. We shall sort out the situation. We are all humans, you know. We have got our mistakes, we have got our shortcomings. That has happened. We are going to engage them. But since they are in Juba, we shall engage them before we go to the grassroots. However, the church is like the hospital, as you referred to, where people come for healing, come for cure, come for everything. But a patient who goes to the hospital needs to be open to healing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come say, I need that type of medicine for malaria. No. I need that type of drugs for stomach. No. You come open and listen to the prescription of the doctor. Don't look at the doctor and say, is this the doctor for my community? No. Look at him or her as a doctor. So this is what I want to tell to my brothers and sisters in the internal province of Jongole. My dear people of God, look at the church as a place where we go to worship, we go to be healed, we go to listen to our inner feelings through the word of God. Me as a pastor, and me as a clergy in the church, have got my mistakes. I made some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take my mistake as a source of solution to it. Look at me as a brother to you and help me. Help me with good words. So me in the church, I need to come out and use the word of God to transform this community. Okay. So I appeal to you, my dear brothers in Greater Jongole, stop the spirit of violence.
All right.
Stop all these energies of fighting about. We can sort out our issues.
Thank you very much. I'll get back to you shortly, Father Oyet. Now, if you've just joined us, we're talking about the leadership wrangles in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan in the province of Jonglei in Bor. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to see what the solution should be. We're trying to understand what exactly the problem is. Now, if you have a question, send a text message on 0912-177-141, because the Secretary General of the South Sudan Council of Churches is here in the studio with us. That is Father James Oyet Latanzio. Go ahead and send your text message. In the next 10 minutes, we'll be closing the conversation, so send your text message now. Okay, so back to you now, Father Oyet. You did mention that there is a plan to intervene, especially now that these people are in Juba. How can you come in as the Council of Churches? What are the ways you can add value to this reconciliation process, and so that you can make it go faster?
Yes, since they're in Juba, and we are going to listen to the Most Reverend His Grace Moses Adnur, and then we shall listen also to the primate, Archbishop Dr. Justin Buddy, the head of the communion, of the Anglican Communion in South Sudan. And then we shall also listen to the Most Reverend Archbishop Emeritus Akurdit Ruben.
Mm-hmm.
We shall listen to them. And then we shall listen to them, particularly because we shall speak to them as men of God, because this is a challenge on our value, on our call, on our mandate of reconciling communities. If we are those who are a source of agitation or incitement, then it's difficult to reconcile communities. So we're going to talk to them respectively, creating what we call in the South Sudan Council of Churches a neutral space, a free space for them to express that bitterness that they have. If it's a bitterness of power, they should speak it out. Mm-hmm. If it's a bitterness of ambition, they have to really speak it. We shall speak with them first privately, and then with the notes we take, we are going to consult with their followers at the grassroots in Jongole. Listen to all of them, then from there we shall forge out way forward. It's not going to take long because it's a really burning issue. People are injured for all this. People hardly can go to church because of fear. It's difficult to go to the hospital if you are afraid. So we are going to appeal to this, our brothers and sisters in the leadership, mm-hmm. and then our brothers and sisters, the faithful, please give time for the Lord to transform you.
Okay. Mm. Now, I have some messages here, so you'll be answering them one by one.
Okay.
This is Atem Dawdwot from Newark Payam. He's saying, according to me, all churches of ECS in Border Town should be banned to reduce the tension between the two bishops. What is your response to that?
That is too extreme. Atem, that is too extreme. Burning all churches, the Episcopal Church of South Sudan Jongole, is too extreme. We need to go back to history. Missionaries first landed in Malek more than 100 something years ago, and Jongole Internal Province is already more than 100 something years already. So burning the majority of the Jeng in the area in Jongole are Episcopal Church, the Anglicans. You can't burn. Okay, there's a section, a part, where there's a mystic, where there's wrangling. Atem Malesh, what I appeal to you, burning does not sort it out. We need to talk on the issues and clear it out. Of course, mistakes happen, challenges came in, but extreme solution is not the thing. We need to have a moderate answer and moderate solution to this. I want to talk to you, Atem. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Atem Dao. I hope you received the message there from Father Oyet. And now we have this one. Okay. Yeah. Now we have this one from Lual Garang from Malakal. He says, church is respectful and a spiritual place that has turned into a political ground when some people are holding guns to threaten others because of power. To me, that is Lual Garang, bishops must step aside and give a peace a chance in Bor. What is your opinion on that, Father Oyet?
Thank you very much, Lual Garang from Malakal. It is true. The church, as I said, has been transformed by political views, political ambitions, and it has made the church ground, the church, to become a battlefield where I saw some people in Roman and collars, clerical collars with guns, and somebody reading the word of God on the pulpit, hanging a gun. All these are sad situations, and as we engage, going to engage this the actors, the Most Reverend Moses Anur and the Most Reverend Ruben Akurdit, we are going to engage them, and then they truthfully have to inspire them and transform them, and make them realized what is it that is causing the pains in the church. If it is to them, then they should look at themselves and say, am I worthy of serving the Lord? Am I worthy of this call? Or if I made a mistake, I need to recognize that I have done a mistake. Mm-hmm. But now, to the stepping aside or resigning is not to me to say that. I don't know what the Constitution, the Province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan says. There should be an article in the Constitution that will direct that. Mm-hmm. But presently, the Constitution is very clear to see that directs people. Like in South Sudan, we have got the law of South Sudan. In the church, in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, we have got the law of the church, which is called the Constitution. So this Constitution guides the way forward of how to reach out. But we need to interpret it positively. We need to interpret it with love. We need to interpret it with understanding so that we implement the truth of the matter.
Okay. Thank you very much, Father Yet, for responding to that. David Aguirre, I hope your question was well answered. No. This is Lual Garang. Now we're looking at David Aguirre's question from Rock City. You're saying, if the church leaders disagree and fight over power struggle, who will be the peace mediator?
That's the point here, David. That's the point. Who will be the peace mediator? If me in the church, I'm fighting to become a bishop, I'm fighting to become a leader. I'm sorry. I understand you, my brother. I understand. For I need to be clean. If I'm a doctor in the hospital, I need to be healthy so that I can cure others. So this, my brother's leadership in the internal province of Jongole, went out of hand. They misinterpreted their constitution. They abused their powers. And just because of this power of service, what is it? Oh, you know, makhadamatu khalas. It's only a service. It's a power of service. So I'm very sorry for what has happened, but I pray in this pain, that as I talk, I'm in pain, that my leaders in the Episcopal Church, internal province of Jongole, will listen and heed to the plea and cry of the people of Greater Jongole. Thank you very much, David.
You mentioned something critical here, power of service. From my understanding, it means that even in that position, you are there to serve the people.
Yes.
Has this been misunderstood? Or is there something we don't know that's happening in the church that is causing people to fight for that power?
The power of service, if you're too ambitious, you want it immediately. You want it now. You want this power of service not to serve, but to take, you know? You need to open your hands, open your hearts to serve the people of God. But when the power of service loses its criteria, loses its objectives, loses its goal, then it becomes pain. It becomes like you, instead of serving, you are giving pains to the people of God. So this is where ambitions, you know, our personal ambitions, our inner personal ambition disturbs us, and it affects my vocation. It affects my call to be a servant in the Church of God.
All right. Thank you for that. Emmanuel Ochala from Pibor Chat says, we are campaigning for peace in South Sudan, and we are happy that there's a move. But with church leaders fighting over power, what kind of message does it reflect to our people?
Emmanuel, it's a negative message. That the fight for power in Greater Jongole is a negative message. I understand you. I understand your pains. I understand your tears. I understand. And South Sudan needs peace. And these messengers of peace, this ambassador of peace, needs to demonstrate above all that they are not for their self-ambitions. They are not for that self-power they are seeking for. They are for the service of the people of God in South Sudan. Those are mistakes that have happened. It has happened, and we are reaping the pains, you know, in Bor today. We are reaping the pains to the point like Atem was saying we need to ban all the Episcopal Church of South Sudan in Bor. Of course, these are all extreme situations. I'm sorry, but I pray that they are listening.
Mm-hmm.
They are listening. My faithful in Bor, they are listening. Some of them in my church, they are listening. Please and please, turn to dialogue. Because you are ambassadors of peace.
Okay. This is the last question here. This is Emmanuel Manut from Tumbra County. He says religious leaders should not be rude and practice hatred in the society. They should understand themselves, solve their errors in the church, because we are very poor and we can deliver a good message about God and peace in the country. He says hatred getting into power by force does not show good image of the church. This is a message for the people. Kwashi Kwan William, though, from Malakal says, if the church fails, let the government intervene. Can this work?
I don't believe the government intervening can work. The government can intervene by giving security. But in sorting out the issues, the government, what we say, they come from parties, you know. Mm-hmm. The government are partisans, and the church takes all these parties inside it. So I don't believe the government intervening in order to sort the situation. I believe that the government can intervene to give security, and others let him leave to us.
Okay.
We shall sort it out.
Now that the clerics are here in Juba, who's mediating that currently?
We haven't started still.
You haven't started?
We have to talk to the primate first,
mm-hmm.
and then meet the two archbishops of the internal province in Jonglei and find out, design a process.
When do you plan to do this?
And today.
And by how long do you expect to at least
have a resolution?
Mm-hmm.
As I go out from here, I'll find out to talk to the primate about it.
Okay.
But you cannot put time to a heart which is very bitter, you know? You know, you need to, because of course there's a part which is bitter. Whether a part of Moses Anuru missed the gunshot, or the part of the Most Reverend Reuben Akurdit, who is bitter because he has almost lost
his life.
Because he has been defrocked from being the bishop or the clergy.
Mm-hmm.
So all this bitterness, and then they have incited their followers. Of course, the wounds, you know, you have to cure a wound, you need to go do dressing.
Okay.
So we need to start addressing.
I think I would like you to speak on the incitement as well. In the church, are we following leaders, or are you following the word of God? I mean, I believe leaders will come and go. What is your word to the faithfuls who have been incited and are actually now committing, you know, violence in the name of these leaders?
You know, most of this, our faithful needs leaders. They need pastors, they need bishops, they need archbishops to lead them,
mm-hmm.
to lead them. Because this is a vocation.
Yeah.
We have got this call. Not all are called to be prophets, not all are to be teachers, not all are called to be bishops or pastors. We are called according to the designation of God's call in us. So, these leaders, they have made a mistake. No, I want to acknowledge it's clear. We did not sort the issue out, and most of our ambitions, you know, my ambition overwhelmed me, and the point that I incited my brothers and said, I am being done so because I am from Bor South, I am from this here community, I'm being defrocked because of this, because of that, because I created diocese there, that's why I'm, so it is, those are like hate speeches, incitement speeches that really disturbed us. My dear brothers and sisters, when you go to church, you go to pray. You don't pray the priest or the bishop or the pastor. It's a leader there. I remember in the Bible, Jesus talked of about the Pharisees. Don't do what they do. Do what they read from the word of God. That's what you know. So when you go to church in Bor, don't go because of the side of the Most Reverend Reuben Akurdit, or the side of Moses Anur. Go that you are going to pray to the Lord to listen to you, to heal our community, to overcome our trauma. Go, don't look at them. Look at them as our leaders, yes. But don't look at them as people who want to take you out of the line of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They are servants of God there, but at times, like now, these mistakes that happen in them. So we need to help them by not coming to transform them to become part of our community, but we need to help them so that they are transformed with the word of God, with the Bible that they carry every day. They carry in their bags, they carry in their hands, they carry even their vehicles. So they need to be transformed with the word of God. So when we go to pray, we are using the word of God for prayers. Not that the word of James or yet, the words of who? But yeah, I use the word of God. Take the word of God that I tell you, but don't take the word of the word of God that I demonstrate in my rough life.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point.
Because again, bishops and leaders are human,
we are
and
human.
They make mistakes.
We are liable to mistakes. Liable to mistakes.
Thank you, Pastor Father Oyet. Thank you for coming and elaborating on this issue. And I do hope that you're able to succeed with the reconciliation process.
We believe in the help of the Lord that things will change. There's a good morning for South Sudan to come, even to Greater Jonglei. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, my brothers and sisters in Greater Jonglei. Trust in the Lord and the Lord will transform you.
Thank you, Father Oyet.
Thank you.
And so that is Father Oyet James. He's come to explain what exactly happened with the leadership wrangles at the ECSS Church in Bor.